The new animal's breeding cycles were structured around it. Plant growth was restricted by it. The planet matured into a jungle world, a landscape of swamps and lush verdancy, where giant ferns covered the surface from pole to pole and were themselves webbed and choked with tenacious creepers reaching for the clear sky. Floating weeds turned the smaller lakes into vast marshlands. Elaborate rough flowers vied for the attention of insects and birds. Seed pods with skirts of hardened petals flew like kites through the air. Wood was non-existent, of course. Wood required decades of uninterrupted growth to form. Two wildly different flora genealogies sprang up, with a terminator as an unbreachable dividing line and battleground. Far-side plants adapted to the sun's yellow light. They were capable of tolerating the long nights accompanying conjunction, the cooler temperatures. Near-side was the province of red light, falling without end. Its black-leafed plants were taller, stronger, more vigorous, yet they were unable to conquer far-side. Night killed them. Yellow light alone was insufficient to drive their demanding photosynthesis, and the scattered refraction of red light by the thick atmosphere never carried far enough, haunting the land for a couple of hundred kilometers beyond the terminator. The animals were more adaptive, ranging freely across far-side and near-side. Dinosaur analogues never appeared. They were too big, requiring too much time to grow. Apart from bird analogues, lizard creatures with membranous wings, most animals were smallish, reflecting their aquatic heritage. All were cold-blooded, at home in the muddy streams and weed-clogged pools. They retained that ancestral trait out of pure necessity. For that was where their eggs were laid, buried deep and safe in the mud of the lake beds, hidden away from the worst ravages of the storm. That was how all life survived, while the winds scoured the world, as seeds and eggs and spores, ready to surge forth when stability returned in a few short weeks. On such an inimical world, life can evolve in one or two ways. There are the defeated, littered on countless planets across the cosmos, weak anemic creatures huddled in their dead-end sanctuaries, a little protective niche in the local ecology, never rising above a rudimentary level, their very lack of sophistication providing them with the means of continuation. Or there are the triumphant, the creatures which refuse to be beaten, which fight tooth and nail and claw and tentacle against their adversity, those for which circumstances act as an evolutionary spur. The dividing line is thin. It might even be that a devastating storm every 8 years could bring genetic ruination. But 9 years. 9 proved enough time to ensure survival, allowing the denizens to rise to the challenge rather than sink back into their ubiquitous mires. The Lysilf claimed such a victory. A mere 800 million years after life had begun on their world, they had reached their pinnacle of evolution. They became transcendent entities. Their 9-year cycle starts in a fish form, hatching from the black egg clusters concealed below the mud. Billions of free-floating slugs emerge 2 centimeters long and are eaten by faster, meaner predators as they gorge themselves on the abundant sludge of decayed vegetation putrefying in the water. They grow and change over 3 years, losing their tails, developing a snail-like skirt. They cling to the bottom of their lakes, an ovoid body 90 centimeters high, with 10 tentacles rising up from the crown. The tentacles are smooth, 60 centimeters long, devoid of suckers, but with a sharp curved horn on the tip, and they're fast, exploding like a nest of enraged pythons to snatch their ignorant prey swimming overhead. When their full size has been reached, they slide up out of the water to range through the planet-wide jungle. Gills adapt to breathe the harsh, musky air, tentacle muscles strengthen to support the drooping limbs away from the water's cozy buoyancy. And they eat, rummaging through the matted undergrowth with insistent horns to find the black, wizened, nut-like nodes that have been lying there neglected since the storm. The nodes are made up of cells saturated with chemical memory traces, memories containing information, the knowledge accumulated by the Lysilf race throughout time. They bring understanding, an instant leap to sentience, and trigger the telepathic center of their brains. Now they have risen above a simple animal level of existence, they have much to converse about. The knowledge is mainly of a philosophical nature, although mathematics is highly developed.